I believe I'm to have the message about giving woven in with this message today. I had just some really good Selah time out in our garden, thinking about many things, but the Holy Spirit began to speak to me in regards to giving out of Malachi. So turn in your Bibles to Malachi. Praise the Lord. Starting with verse 8.
Which chapter?
Malachi 3, sorry.
Thank you.
Verse 8. It says, "Will a man rob God?" Gosh, you know, how many of you have ever heard this passage? How many of you can put them on all your toes and your fingers? But it's always special when the Holy Spirit brings fresh illumination to truth. "Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." That's pretty sobering, isn't it? Speaking to a whole nation. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." So much in this. Many people right now in their lives are getting their taxes together, pulling things together, throwing papers out, gathering papers. And John and I have been watching a lot of programs. I'm not sure, there have been different ones where a head chef is going and helping another business just turn their businesses around. But when they did this, they went into that business and they looked at their books. They looked at how they tasted every bit of their food. They found out where they were so they could take them to that next place. To see what these owners of these businesses went through was very tough for many of them because they had not had things in order. A lot of people know about tithes and offerings, but they don't have things in order to reap the benefit of the tithe and the offering. And one thing the Holy Spirit said is things need to be put in order. For some people, part of that order is they need to give their tithes and their offerings. But for others, there's some priorities that they need to have. They need to know where things are in their finances. When this word was used, a man rob God, this was a very interesting Hebrew word. It is a word picture of a head. A person's head in the Hebrew. But the head is covered. Now, how many people know what to do and they don't do it? Their head is covered. In other words, they're not going to listen to anything because everything has to go through your mind. And it actually means to defraud. How many of you have ever been frauded? What does that mean? That means you did not give someone permission to take money out of your account. So here, God was saying to his people, you have defrauded me. You have taken money for yourself that belonged to me because I gave you the power to get the wealth. That is a serious thing. And this word, defraud, means unjustifiable. There's no way you can justify ever saying, I can't afford to tithe, God. Now, mind you, there's tons of people that still have a lot of money, and they don't tithe, but they have no eternal promise either. So this is not just a temporary blessing here. It is an eternal blessing. Because it will determine your position eternally and what God can entrust of himself in and through us. And it also meant claiming and crediting yourself for the accomplishment. So when somebody earns a lot of money or earns a little bit of money, but they won't give that which is due back to God, and that is, I acknowledge you are my source. And the purpose was so there would be meat in my house. It's just the system that we operate off of to have things done. And of course, the believers in the under the new covenant, they had to totally live by faith. They weren't under the Judaism anymore. They were under a whole new covenant where you're going to have to believe God. But he still said a workman's worthy of his hire. It's so important that we do everything God's way in life. The title of today's message is called Keepers of the Way of Life. Keepers of the Way of Life. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis. You can pass the offering, or I should say the tithe bucket and the offering, because it really is. You really find out where you are when it comes to tithes. Now, you know, even back into giving, John went to the grocery store. Where did you go, honey? What store?
Cedar.
Okay. But did you drop off the money for the food at Ralph's?
No.
No. He gave it where he got what he needed. And it's the same way in the body of Christ. If we're giving tithes to places where we're not getting what we want and need spiritually, then we're in trouble. We're still defrauding God because we're not giving him the right place to cause the food to continue to feed his people in the place that he sent us. It's just really important. Sometimes it seems so obvious, but it's not obvious because of the head being covered by lack of knowledge of the Word of God or fear. There's a lot of reasons people don't. So Genesis chapter 3. Verse 24. It says, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Interesting, there's two words, way, in the Hebrew in this passage, but they're two different Hebrew words. The one turned every which way was these cherubims were actually protecting, all right? So they were in a protection mode with their swords. And they were protecting the way of the tree of life. Do you know that God protects his ways? His way of doing, he has protected this word for how many years? Has he protected it? He protects everything he has. No one can destroy anything of God. It's protected. Yet the title of today is called Keepers of the Way. So let's find out if we have some responsibility. It said to keep the way. This word keep meant to guard and protect. Did you know that you are responsible as one of the children of God to keep and protect the way of God? In every council in here, some people specialize in certain aspects of the counsel of God, but they've never really developed other parts. But we need to have the whole counsel of God, because otherwise you don't have a whole mind. You only have a part of the mind of God. The way. This word way is the word chaya, which comes from chai. You know, we say Am Yisrael chai. So it's a verb, and it means to revive from sickness, from death, from discouragement, to sustain life God's way. So these cherubims were protecting the way to stay healthy on this earth, to stay everything that man was going to need. Mind you, man had to be driven out because he had lost the way. I think about the way a lot, actually every day of my life. You know why? Because the way is so much more than a lot of people think. It is everything about everything that we need to do every single day of our life. It's interesting because the Jews have so much that we can learn from. And there's a term that the Jews use, and it's called Etz Chaim, which means tree of life. That's the Hebrew for tree of life. Etz is the word tree. So when we talk about the land of Israel, what is the word for land in Hebrew?
Eretz.
So the tree is connected to the land, so they all stem, you know, everything comes from a root word in Hebrew. I sat on, I was really looking at trees. When you go look at a tree, have you ever seen a tree with more than one trunk? No, there's one source. You know, God said, eat of the tree of life. There's one source of that life. I was looking at even our grapes, because I'd done some pruning over at the Baker's new home, and I was just sitting looking at ours thinking, there's one trunk for each grapevine. And these are all parables that Jesus used to help us understand our connection to him while we're here on this earth. Now this Etz Chaim was common in yeshivas and synagogues with the Jews, but it also was something that they used to describe the Torah. And so I photographed this picture, and I'll let you pass it around, of the Torah, because they call it the Sefer Torah. And so the Etz Chaim, the tree of life, they consider this the tree of life. So when they put this wood here, when you get from a tree, wood, all right? So this is the tree of life. the very word of God. You go into some Bibles, the back of my Bible, there's a tree, and it'll, maybe you've heard of the family tree. You know, people are looking at their family tree and their roots. But here, let me just show John real quick. John, come look at this real quick. This is the way that the Jews, and then you can just maybe start at the back and you can all pass it around. So that's the Etz Chaim, the tree of life. Everything in here is for life for us. We were told by the Spirit of God that we needed to look at the Word of God this year anew, as though we just met God. A lot of people, as they grow, and I watch people, so I know, can be tempted just through everyday life to get sloppy in getting into the tree of life. It would be like trying to garden without a gardening book. You might hit some things here, there. You might learn maybe from watching, which a lot of people learn about God by watching all of us. But if you want to know the root to everything, it's all here. And it's best to have this and learn how to approach it. Turn over to Genesis 18. How many of you know Abraham or Avraham's nickname? What's his nickname? What do they call him? The father of faith. So let's find out, to someone who did so well at what God was speaking about, the keeping of the tree of life, what he did. Verse 18. So seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. Here's a question for you tonight. Does God know you? You know, you can say, oh, I know him. I know that person. It's more than just, I know them. When you say that you really know someone, that means you know everything about the way they're going to respond to life. You know if you can trust them. It's not sometimes as thorough as maybe we think we know certain people. Because sometimes people will say, I thought I knew them. There was some, but God says, I know him. That he will command his children and his household after him. Does God know you'll do that? Men in this room, even women, if you're a single mom, does God know that you will command your children after you? And his household. Okay, not just his children, his household. He had servants. That means when my merry mates come in my house, they are commanded. And let me tell you, they're commanded more than just to clean my house. They're also commanded in the ways of God. They are. They get blessed. They should receive a blessing. They're part of my house. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. There's that word way again. And it's the word derek in Hebrew. The way. Here's the way that Abraham kept. To do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Justice and judgment. First he said he would keep the way. Abraham was a keeper of the way of God. He helped protect the way of God by living it, by commanding his children to live it, and those that lived in his household. That's one way that you keep and protect the way of God, is by the people around you. No, you don't put up with it. You know, really good friends, I'm not worldly friends, but God friends, they don't let their friends get away with stuff. They'll get in their face. You know, a really good friend will get in your face. They will. And they'll help you be a keeper of the ways of God. To do. That's one thing I love about the Jews. I will always be grateful about the Jewish people. One thing I've learned more than anything, they're doers. They don't just say it. And a lot of the body of Christ has been sold a cheap gospel. They think they just go, put in some time, sit, maybe go through some kind of confirmation because they memorize something, but they don't do anything. That he was going to do something every day of his life. Justice. That word justice in the Hebrew is the word righteous, which is doing things the right way. Everything about Abraham that God knew and could call him who he said he would call him as the father of faith was he knew him well enough that he would do everything the way God wanted it done. Whether he understood it or not, fully. He would prepare offerings the way God wanted them prepared. He would do the right judgment. Now, this word was quite an extensive word, and it was very governmentally explained in steps. You might want to write this down. I thought it was very interesting. It meant that he would decide a case correctly. Ever had to judge a situation and had to make some decisions? I'm not saying you're judging the person eternally. I'm saying you're judging a situation that arose. He would do it at the right place. He would use the right process. Does this sound like the judicial system? That maybe isn't perfect the way we see it, but they do have to do these things. They have to make decisions. They have a place that they make these decisions. There is a process you have to go through when you're dealing with making judgments on a situation. The process, the way it all comes, like litigation, we use the word litigation, the way everything is brought forth. He's saying Abraham did this his way. He knew he could be trusted to do these things his way. Do you think there's litigation in family situations? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All the evidence comes forth, and then you have to make a judgment on, okay, what's the best way? But Abraham had a relationship with God to such a level that God could speak to him and work with him so he could do these things the right way. Abraham never did anything apart from God to be called a friend of God. The sentencing, this was part of the judgment, the sentencing, if you're a parent, it could be the sentencing on what kind of discipline you're going to. Hand me over the keys. You don't get to use the car. Hand me over the house keys. You don't get to use my house when I'm not here. You know, whatever it is. Execution, all right? Now, first, you know, here we have the sentencing, and now executing it. He did it God's way. There are so many things in our everyday life that we have to make judgments on. And I know some people can go extreme one way or another, saying, well, we're not supposed to judge anybody. No, we're not supposed to judge that they're going to hell or they're whatever. But we do have to make judgments. We do have to discern situations. Otherwise, we would not have the systems that we have, that even God used to establish them. Though naturally through man they can be imperfect, if we do it the way God would have it done, he can still be seen. I've watched God's hand even in the court system. Patricia Vansebi is getting ready to take a course, and I was really impressed to see if it was okay with John if we opened our home for about 12 or so people to take the course in our home by a national or federal, excuse me, and state certified court translator from Spanish to English, English to Spanish. He was here during part of our prayer meeting in that room. I guess he wanted to meet me, and I didn't know he was coming, but we just continued with the way God leads me, and that was finish the prayer meeting. Well, when I walked in and shook his hand, I said, I want to explain to you a little bit of why I've made the decision to assist you. And I picked up a picture that was right next to him. It was a picture of my uncle, who was a judge, who is retired. My mother was a legal secretary, family and litigation. Cousin that's an attorney. I said, I'm the advocate in the family, the one that's on their face. Not that other people aren't praying in the family, but that's my position in the realm of the spirit, is to stand in the gap and to see people get into these places. So I feel very honored that he is going to do that here, and how the Holy Spirit, line upon line, gave me step after step after step. You know, it's interesting. I don't know where the man is spiritually. It doesn't matter to me, though God will reveal things to me. But there is something in him that needs this outreach, and something in him that is very hungry. I do discern that. That might not be the way you would have thought you'd use your home, or the way God wants to use you. But we have to be open in this day of the way God wants to run things. He's not into having us go against man-made laws. That's not what I'm saying. But it could be so entirely different than anything you ever thought that you would be doing. The tree of life. You know, it was provided to be a continuous reminder that immortality was a consequence of obedience. You might think, disagree, no. The tree of life is a reaping if you are obedient. Now, when they barred access to the tree of life, God was showing his compassion. You might think, what? Wait a minute, how is that the compassion of God that they couldn't get near the tree of life? Well, they were in a fallen state. And his compassion for man was to not leave us in a fallen state eternally. He limited it to such a short time frame on this side, on earth. I know we have different people in different stages of life, and I've been with people at the end of their life on this side. And I always say on this side because it doesn't stop. But it really is the compassion of God that he didn't make us stay in a fallen state forever without a way out, which was through Jesus. So So when Jesus came, it said he is the way. What? He is that tree. That tree of life that we could partake of. And as we were told through one of the prophecies, have everything restored. You know, how far back has Debbie and Larry gone into their family history as they have collected everything to move? They have gone way back. Do you realize God, when he recovers, he can recover all the way back to your very beginning? I praise God for the 120 years that we have been promised. If we want the 120 years. And they can be amazing. But I think it's amazing when I think about that he's given us that many years to meet him. You ever thought about that? Some people don't meet him until the very end of their life. And I'm glad they meet him. And I'll be there to help them meet him. Personally, I'm glad I met him at the age that I did because laborers were sent and obeyed the sending. We have to ask ourselves this year, because I know he wants souls to come into the kingdom. Is there a place that God has wanted to send you or tried to send you and you have not followed the path? It's important to know, has he been wanting to send you? Is there somebody that you're like, man, they need Jesus, but maybe God couldn't use you, but you were it. You were the laborer that he wanted to send? Turn your Bibles to John 14. Our sweet Jesus. If you are being convicted, condemning is different, and you need to learn to discern the difference between condemning and pure conviction. Conviction doesn't necessarily make you happy or feel happy at the moment because suddenly something's revealed to you that you weren't doing that you need to be doing. Oh, okay. Don't do this, do this. Or if you weren't doing this, now you need to do this. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way for someone to have eternal life. There is no other way but by Jesus. But unless people are told this is the only way, this is the way, they will remain out of the way. He said he's the way. I know Sarah was telling me that she went on a hike. Now, a lot of hikes have what they call well-trodden paths, where it's very obvious what you're to be walking on. But Jesus came as the way, and when he came, there was no well-trodden path that he had laid down yet. But he did know enough about the scriptures that there was a way. A way that God wants things done. Another way of looking at the way is a course of travel. So I want you to think about this year as the Holy Spirit leads you. It's the course of travel. When God sends you in the way to do something for him, there will be a course of travel. You have to think about the course. What's a course? It could be a class you have to take. It could be, when you think of an obstacle course, everything you're going to have to go over, everything you're going to have to go through, everything you're going to have to go around. We were watching the Coast Guards last night, and this one young man, the supervisor was watching him in the way he was executing the commands. And if I would have known the way, I would have got it. But I didn't know what the way was. At first I thought, well, okay, he's doing it. He's doing these pull-ups. But he wasn't doing the way because they said he couldn't take any breathers in between. And then once they got him in a pool, they thought, you know, we got to find out, is this guy hiding something from us? Hiding something from doing it the way? So they got him in a pool and he starts swimming, and suddenly he stops and he's holding his arm. And they said, why didn't you tell us in your records that you had an injury in your shoulder? Because it surfaced when he was pushed to the max. You know, people will never get away with doing it the wrong way with God. They may pull the wool over people's eyes, but they will not pull it over God. It's so important to have a relationship with the Lord more than anything else. You want to have that relationship where you are straightforward with God and He can be straightforward with you. So if you start to get out of the way, He can get you back in. The other picture of the way is moral character. Some people say, I did it just like Jesus told me to do. He just told me to go there and tell them they need Jesus. Oh, really? Did you do it the way with your character? Or was there an air of superiorness, an air of condemnation? My book, God's Power, God's Way, the Book of Balance, was a life-changing course the Holy Spirit took me through, because He showed me I have to do it His way with His gifts, and I could not shortchange any of them. So the course that believers go through is the course in the character part of that way is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, temperance, meekness, remaining teachable. If we ever stop being teachable, we have gotten off the way. That's why when you're really around very superior people that are continuing to grow, they remain teachable to keep growing. They know there's always something more that you can learn. One of the programs we watched with these cooks was this woman was in over $600,000 in debt, I think it was, honey. And this guy that came in to help her was eating the food and spitting it out and said, and if it was me, I'd fire every one of your cooks. But she didn't want to, because since she had breaks in her natural family, they were her family. And he said to her, I don't know if they can be teachable. I don't know if they have it to change. They've been doing this so long. He said, but you're the boss. If you fire them, they're fired. If you hire them, they're hired. I'll do everything I can to get these guys. And some of them were older gentlemen thinking, I've done this. And this one confessed, I realized I've done this the wrong way all these years as a cook. Willing to be taught. Are we willing to be taught, though we may have silver hair? because that's the way. So whatever the Lord has for us this year, we've got to make sure we do it His way, with our character, with our gifts, and the course, step by step. Is this what you want me to do? And I'll tell you, when you're really learning to be sensitive to the voice of God, you don't run real fast at first, because you're always checking in. Am I doing this the way you want me to? Because what'll happen is bad habits can surface, and people will just be an auto, because a habit is something you do
without thinking.
You're not really thinking about it. But when you're learning a new way, you've got to think about it to learn it. The Lord said, "No stars of mine live a soap opera life in the flesh." When you watch soap operas, and I know because I was delivered when I got born again, I was delivered from soap operas. Delivered. Thank God I was delivered. What was it? Everything was drama. Everything was drama, and emotions were at the first of everything, not being led up as a righteous person. He said, "For my stars are spiritual giants, continually developing their best." The Lord is challenging us. You might thought, wow, I did really good last year. I really moved forward in a lot of things. Guess what? You still have more that you can develop in yourself. There's so much more. And the way you know there's more is when you get around somebody that is more developed in a similar call as you. That's why when the Holy Spirit told me leaders after God's heart, He told me He would bring leaders together and they would oil one another. And they would be experts. In other words, there would be areas that they had really developed. But you know what? We need each other. Because though somebody has spent most of their time developing a certain area, that means they haven't been developing this area. So when you get around people that excel in what they do, you actually, as a group, can help each other forge forward in a humble matter. Business, my background, school's never out for the pro, ever. Did you learn something from moving this time that you would never repeat again?
Yes.
Yeah. If you didn't, then guess what? You get to repeat the course. Remember the school of the Holy Spirit? You get to repeat the course until you pass it. He said, "So dig deep for the treasures of revelation." We want revelation. We want things revealed to us this year. Of course we'll pray that God reveal things to others, but don't ever put praying for somebody else that you get so busy doing that you're not praying for yourself and asking the Lord to help you. Movies and plays were only meant to paint a vision for me, not to do your thinking when bored or escaping your enemy's pleas. You know, a lot of people do go and watch TV and watch movies as an escape. They want something to think for them so they can relax. They don't know how to just relax. It's a waste of time. It's not the way. I don't think Abraham ever went and watched something just to sidetrack them. So what did he say? He said, "So don't waste your time any longer with frivolous deeds. Pick up your assignments. Learn all your parts." There are many parts that every one of us need to learn. Whether you're working for Israel, there's lots of parts to learn with the work for Israel. If it's preaching the gospel and you know that you need to be sent out, you know you have a lot of an evangelistic characteristics from God, you need to develop that. We all should know how to preach the gospel, but some are called to it more for full time. Learn all your parts. every part. Working on a computer, keep developing the gift. It's endless. But is it learn your parts in ease? That's a key. Ease is when God's involved in the leading of it. Some people just go to school, take a bunch of courses, are like airheads because they're exhausted from everything. They're not enjoying it at all. So learn it with the ease that comes with the grace of God. That means you do it when He tells you to. You take a break. See, some people, they're so gifted that they're consumed with doing something over and over, and they don't take a break. One of the greatest visitations I ever had was in my office. Because for some reason, I allowed Jesus in other areas, but that one, I was on a mission. But when He arrested me and said, "Lisa, quit trying to do it. Just let my Holy Spirit lead you here like you let Him lead you other ways. Why have you separated this?" A lot of people do. They separate that God's not really involved in these because they've never allowed Him to be involved. Every aspect, physically, if it's physical things you want to overcome, let Him get involved. Children, let Him get involved. Invite Him in to the situation. So He said, out with the old and in with the new, the old ways, the old strategies. It really has to be fresh when you're embarking on something new, especially if you're wanting to recover something that you lost. It has to be a new way that you approach it. Because otherwise history will repeat itself. Especially if you never had something, you only came here in a lost position in that area. Maybe it's a family history of loss. So the approach is going to be new. And if you're not open for the new, you'll resist any unctions from the Holy Spirit to do something that you would have never thought to do. I know I've recommended to certain people to read some books on communication skills, because I grew up in a family, we just didn't have them, and I was like the quiet one, and others were the loud mouths, and I didn't have the skills. So I have mastered my life in learning how to work with people and understand people and communicate with people. But it wasn't something I grew up with naturally. But you know what? There was something in me that my call required it, though I had to recover this. And that's part of recovery. Old strategies. Boy, that can get people. They're so used to creatures of habit, doing it a certain way. Your finances, doing it a certain way. If you want a change, you need to first say, "What do you need me to do, Lord?" You know, some people I have advised you get a financial advisor, because I know that the way that the approach was not a good way. I tell you, you put yourself by experts, people that have excelled. If there's any insecurities in the heart, they may surface. A lot of these programs John and I watch, the owners are in tears. This guy has been used not just to renovate their businesses, he's renovated the relationships. Some of them were so controlled by family members. They were the head of the restaurant, but all the people that worked for him were their family. And so they didn't take him serious. This one, everyone except one person that the owner said was really doing a good job, the other ones were just like, you know, playing with their phones. He said, "You know what, I would just encourage you to fire them all."
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So She stood there and said, I fire every single one of you. And then when she hired them back, it was by choice. Did she really believe they could do it? But you know what was amazing is the people responded differently, even though they didn't change being family members at all. And one was her own mother. Mm-hmm. That her mother, not only, she didn't just fire her mom, her mother had quit and wanted nothing to do because they were just squabbling. She didn't know as a mother her place with her daughter in a business setting. So she went through talking with her mother and saying, would you be willing to come back to work and we will work on these things? And it was a humbling on both parts. Very enlightening program. So pick up your Bibles anew this year. Study. Don't just read this. Study it. Get to know what God is saying in here that you need. That maybe your family, the people that you're overseeing, what they need. The people that you're working with or ministering to, what they need. There's three things I've been speaking about at the prayer meeting, and I believe I need to bring them here because this is such a great revelation for people to know. It will help you in recovering things. The only way to approach anything that you want to recover is by faith, and that you have to believe. Believe. You have to believe. There is no other way. You can't doubt, and you can't oppose God. You just can't to retrieve things. That's his way. That's his way of bringing the promises of God. But unbelief, this is where people have been really deceived and stolen from. Unbelief. Because unbelief is a spirit. And I really see from being around people that a lot of people do not understand there are fallen ones. They are given assignments. Every single one of us have been targeted from birth. From birth, they have watched you from birth. They know everything and more you don't know in the way you were raised. And the way you responded. And they've got your number. And if your eyes will be open to that, you won't be deceived like maybe you have been in the past. Because since it is a spirit, and everyone in Christ has authority over these spirits, you can stop them. You can't make them leave forever. Because they have a right to be here. They haven't been sentenced yet. But Jesus was able to deal with them, and he is our example. Remember the spirit. Anytime you know there is something in you that is opposed, and I don't mean literally in you, but it's something that's influencing you to be opposed to do something the right way, it is probably a spirit involved. The other thing that people struggle with in recovering things is doubt. And doubt can be twofold. It can be, one, you just don't know the way. I don't know the way to be organized. I don't know the way to approach my finances. I don't know the way to speak to people about the things of God. It's just not in me to kind of flow automatically. Anytime I am without a way, I ask the waymaker to show me. Moses is a great example. Who am I? I am not going unless you show me the way. Show me your glory. And the Lord will show you the way. If you are opposed, and sometimes it will come through a person, it could be yourself, because spirits need bodies. They're looking for bodies. They're looking for people to possess. They're looking for people to oppress. That means a believer can be oppressed by thoughts. But an unsaved person can be possessed. And we're seeing it more and more on television or out and about in everyday life, people losing it. What are they losing? They're losing being in charge of their own minds. They have given them over without even realizing they have given them over. So if you know there's something that you know God wants you to have, and there is such an opposition, it's like, what is this? I know, but it's like there's nothing in you to believe. Then take authority over that spirit. Break the power of it over you. Get help from somebody if you need help. But you know what? You should come to a place where you can actually take authority over these things. Fear, it masquerades by the biggest. I've been saying this a lot, but I know I need to say this because I know every time you want to recover things and you go forward, you will be opposed. But the more we stay on top of it in Christ, the less he can oppose and win. I will tell you, I can smell a rat. I'll know when there's opposition, but I go ahead anyway. Because I know my God, and I know I will overcome. Sometimes people say, didn't you ever feel? Yeah, but who lives by their feelings? That's getting you in the sense realm and out of the spirit. It's just, so a lot of people don't know what to do with their feelings, because feelings feel. Right? You feel them. And a lot of people don't know what to do with these feelings. I'll tell you, a lot of people are so led by their feelings and not the spirit. Even though, and Miriam's got a great message, there is a feeling in the spirit, but it's not a natural feeling. You'll just know. I call it a sensing, whatever, but I know the voice of God, where I know that, and I know the rat. I call him the rat, because I've had a rat die in the walls of my old house, and it has a stink like that to me, spiritually. When somebody's doing something in there in the flesh, or it's just completely demonic, it smells. And because our spirit man has everything that the natural man has, you do have noses. And some of you, you need your nose tuned in this year to smell things in yourself and smell things around others so that you do not get sucked into it. And you stop it. Listen, I've had to put my foot down in the past for me. No! Get up! Come on! I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And sometimes you got to get that soul back in line. Remember that God promised never to leave us comfortless. I like that. Orphanos. That's an orphan. You know what an orphan is? I've only met one person in my life that was an orphan. She was one of my Mary Kay consultants. I would have never known until we just had some really heart-to-heart time. She worked for some big company over in that direction. She was the head of this company, did amazing things. But when she got into Mary Kay, I got to know more personal things. And she told me how her parents were killed in a car crash, and she grew up in an orphanage. And I was like, oh my goodness. What are these poor little Russian children going through right now because of the laws of their government, where some of the people in America that have wanted to adopt them are being stopped? But God's saying, I'm not going to ever leave you as an orphan. What makes an orphan feel comfortless? They don't have anybody there that directly cares about them. Someone as a mother and a father that is so there to meet their needs. I'm so glad we have the Holy Spirit. He's there to assure you, even if you are sent into the fashion industry, into making big decisions, and no Christian is around you, you have the Holy Spirit. You're sent on an interview. You're sent to preach the gospel to people that have never heard of Jesus. Wherever you're sent, He's with you. And He'll let you know He's with you. And He'll show you what you need to do. He promised to help us. I was thinking about help. That was a commission for me at the conference. Help the people. I'm here to help every single one of you. I'll do everything with Christ in me to help. But you've got to be cooperating. One thing about a helper, when you go back to Genesis and the times of first mentions of a word, the first time it's mentioned is in Genesis. And it was mentioned that God would make a help meet for the man. I was thinking about that. Do you realize none of the animals had it? Had what? What is help? Animals bless men. A lot of men. They love to look at animals. But there was something that the animals did not have to help the man. I'm just going to read what I wrote. Though animals are wonderful and do assist man, God chose something in His creation of woman to assist man that no animal could. Man and woman together, whether married or not, are the full picture of the aspects of God to assist man. Woman is not less than, but a complement to man in her God-given abilities. When we were helping the bakers move, Terry had one part of a mirror. Patty had another part of a mirror. And they were approaching the front door as I was walking out the front door. I saw that Terry looked okay, but Patty didn't look okay. Plus, she was walking backwards and had to go up some steps. Instantly, the Holy Spirit brought, He helpeth our infirmities. And He said, go and help lift the weight of this off of Patty so she can get up the steps. She still was holding it. But it took a burden she didn't need to carry off of her and a potential accident. The first time that this is mentioned outside of the woman is in Genesis 49. Why don't you turn your Bible to that? Mm-hmm. we're all going to need help this year, okay? This is why I want to just follow the leading of the Spirit and end this message so that you can be a keeper of the way with understanding that you have help to do this. Genesis 49:25. And this is Jacob's blessing over Joseph. It says, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors.
Progenitors.
There you go. Unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that will separate from his brethren. This word help comes from two words. One means to shout, and the other means to run. The reason people don't get the help that they need is they don't shout in faith, help, knowing that he will show up. They shout and cry, I don't have any help. I can't do this. But that doesn't get the helper to come on the scene and bring whatever it is you need. You don't know the way? I need help. I need someone to assist me. I don't get this, God. I need your assistance. Interesting. Help is not a servant. The Holy Spirit is not your servant. There's just something he has in him to make up for what you don't have. Just remember that. The reason we need a body of Christ is because there's something that the others have to make up for what we don't have. Nobody's any better than anybody else. There's something the Holy Spirit wants to assist you this year to recover things. Listen to him. He knows the way. He knows the way to get the job. He knows the way to recover aspects of our personality that maybe have been damaged. He knows the way to receive healing. He knows the way to minister to people in a way they'll receive. In explaining the helper, whether it's a wife, whether it is someone that just needs to assist you, it's the one who is suitable for the job. Ruth Robbins, you have need of a lot of help to answer your call. And there are suitable people and help from the Holy Spirit to do this. You need to know this. You need to grab this with every fiber of your being, because you'll be running and sprinting with a lot of excitement. There is an assistant to help you, Julian. Don't ever kick him out again. Let him assist you. Let him assist you. He makes us stronger where we feel so weak. Let him. Many times people that love to help are very poor recipients of help. Don't do that to yourself this year. Admit, I need more help. How many of you want more help? I'm willing to do my job, but I want more help. Because the person or the person of the Holy Spirit or the people that God will send to help you, they will make what you can do beyond what you can do. I know if I would have just stayed in business and preached the gospel, I would not be touching as many people as I am today. I came to a place where I said, Lord, there's more in my heart than just Mary Kay. There's more in my heart than just women, just helping them. Because I'm seeing by working with women where the dings are in the men, and I've raised a son, and I see how they get dinged at a very young age at times. I studied with the Holy Spirit to understand how amazing we are in our creation. And I'm grateful that he has assisted me and sent the people, these two beautiful women of God, their spouses. Were you blessed today by Maureen and Terry? I know y'all were singing, and that's fine. I wasn't, because I got ministered to by Terry. Why? Sometimes the leader needs to receive. You are a blessing, Terry Nishimoto. And I see where the gift started with you all and has gone into your children. And there's still more blessings we need from this couple. There's more people that need to be recipients. It's not about naturally as people mature. It's about the treasure of what these two have learned in ministry. It's beautiful. I know Ruth has a voice and a place that voice needs to minister to people. It's an awesome day that we live in. It's an awesome day. Let God help you think big, because if you think little, you'll do it and you'll only get paid for what you could do. But if you let him think big, you will get paid for what God is worth. Amen. And there it's where you give your treasures back to him and you move on. I think about all the times I was faithful to give clothing to people. And give clothing, and how God began to bring it back, and now he's given me a store that's given me new clothing. I crack up when I think, not just one little dress that's so pretty, but 20, I count them, 25 of the same dress. Now, is that something I'm going to need? I don't think so. But some of you ladies that are here, please don't leave, because we have these beautiful garments that God is blessing this ministry with, and we want to find these Cinderellas that need to be blessed. I was sharing with somebody, the reason I say Cinderella is because I said that when I picked it up at the guest outlet. I said, oh, I can't wait to go find the Cinderellas that will be recipients. Well, I didn't know they were going to cut out all the sizes, all the tags with the sizes, so it literally is trying to find the person with the glass slipper if their foot fits. It's finding the person's body that fits the clothes. Patty, stand up. She's wearing one of the recipients, this beautiful little top. A blessing. It's just the beginning. If God can trust us with the little, then he can make us ruler over much. That's God's way. Some people have climbed the corporate ladder, but they didn't do it the right way, and they're a mess. God is thorough. So enjoy the trip, because it is a trip. Father, I thank you for this amazing revelation of your way. And I thank you for opening the eyes of every single person, every man, every woman, every child, every family, every place that you will send our feet to. I thank you for assisting us in seeing your way, in following your way and succeeding in your way and recovering everything that need to be recovered for your purposes and your glory. Amen. Praise God. This is another picture I just want to pass around. This is a picture of a sofer, which is a Jewish scribe that is given the privilege of actually writing the Torah. I encourage you all to study this year more about your Jewish roots. You don't have to become a Messianic Jew. This is not what we're promoting. But get to know where your roots came from, because it will give you a solid understanding and a foundation of the way God does approach the holiness of His Word and the following of His way. Amen. If anyone needs